At this time, everyone is asleep except for Xana. Looking inside the home, we can see where everybody was. Starting at the third floor, we can see where Maddie and Kaylee were sleeping. Maddie was sleeping on the edge of the bed, while Kaylee was sleeping near the wall. As we go out and drop down to the second floor, we can see Dylan's room directly under Maddie's room. Continuing across the living room onto the other side of the home, we see Xana's room. She's sitting in bed scrolling on her phone while Ethan sleeps next to her. Minutes ago, she had just finished ordering DoorDash and has all the lights on while she waits. The last roommate to mention is Beth, whose room is on the first floor, directly below the living room. As most of them all sleep, Koberger pulled into the neighborhood for the first time this night at precisely 3:30 a.m. We know this due to a home security camera that captures the intersection and records the coming and going of anybody that enters that neighborhood. As we continue, Koberger drives past the home and notices that all the lights on the second floor are still on. He drives on and loops around the apartment complex building. Because of the home security timestamp, we're able to know how long it took to drive this path. On his first pass, it took him 2 minutes and 38 seconds, and this is him leaving on the first pass. Now let's look at his next two passes and record the times. This is pass 2 of him entering and leaving. And now this is pass 3 of him entering and leaving. When we do the math, we can see how long he took each pass. The last two passes were normal without any stopping, but on his first pass, he took an additional 42 seconds to creep by the house or even stop for a time to stare into the windows with the lights on. All this information has been coming from camera A, but there is a second camera located behind the apartment complex building, and we're going to call that camera B located here. This camera allows us to see how long it took to get from point A to point B, and between the three security cameras' data, it took between 35 and 37 seconds. What this means is you didn't stop or park somewhere or go into a different direction. He simply drove straight from point A to point B at regular speed. These times help us understand the DoorDash delivery window. According to court documents, two times are noted. One is 3:59 a.m. and the other is 4 a.m. Bringing back our passes chart, we can see that the DoorDash time of 3:59 happens after Koberger has left the neighborhood and before he returns for his last pass at 4:04. It is possible that the DoorDash driver saw Koberger as he was parking his car, because a timestamp of 3:59 could be reflected when he took the photo of the food at the front door instead of the time he arrived. So it is possible he witnessed Koberger staring at the windows as he drove by. Continuing, as the driver leaves, Xana turns off all the lights, sits on her bed, and scrolls on her phone as she eats her food. A few minutes later, Koberger enters the neighborhood for the last time. But this time, as he drives by the home, he sees all the lights are off. At the camera B location, he turns around to head back to the residence as shown in this video. When he returns to the front of the house, he does something unusual, so much so that it's noted in the arrest affidavit. On page 6, it states, "When the suspect vehicle 1 is in front of Kings Road residence, it appeared to unsuccessfully attempt to park or turn around in the road." It goes on to say that he continued onto the intersection where he did a 3-point turn. The 3-point turn was captured on camera A, which has a timestamp of 4:06. He appears to be calm and not overly anxious with his driving. As he heads back in the direction of the residence, he takes one last look at the windows to make sure all the lights are off. As he begins to drive around the end of the apartment complex, camera B records the time at 4:07. Fast forwarding a little bit, Koberger drives to the back parking lot away from other residences. He takes a few minutes looking around and sees that nobody's out and that all is quiet. He eventually grabs his things, gets out of the vehicle, and begins walking to the back of the home. At approximately 4:13 a.m., he begins to make entry. As he steps in, he takes a minute to make sure everything is quiet and that nobody is truly up. He walks to the entrance of the living room and looks around. He continues to be cautious and stands there listening. Feeling confident, he continues upstairs. As he makes his way to Maddie's room, the time is about 4:14. Meanwhile, 2 minutes later, Xana takes a break from TikTok and walks into the kitchen. Evidence shows her activity on the app stopped at 4:16. As she enters the kitchen, she's a little shocked to see the sliding glass door wide open. And at the same time, she hears a serious commotion going on upstairs. A source revealed that Xana's phone recorded steps and elevation change, which is how it's known she went to the kitchen and the third floor. When she walked up to Maddie's doorway, she interrupted Koberger, who had just finished an intense battle with Kaylee, who fought back violently. After a second or two, he notices her, and then she turns away. Being dark, Xana didn't realize what she was seeing other than a shadowy figure. Out of fear, she quickly leaves. A single source, unaffiliated with the media, claims Koberger injured Xana on the third floor hallway, leaving evidence of blood there. But this single source of information has not been validated by any more sources. Continuing, Koberger, without thinking, pursues her all the way to her room, not realizing he had dropped the sheath of his knife. When he gets to the room, he attacks Xana, and the time is precisely 4:17:30. We know this because of camera A captured the sound of screaming and the thud. After attacking Xana, Koberger focuses his attention on Ethan and attacks him while he slept. Afterwards, Koberger must have sat down in a chair, according to a report, which found blood smears on Xana's chair, perhaps from the exhaustion of what he had just done. The source also says that blood from the two roommates upstairs were found in Xana's room, showing that it was one person moving from one room to another. Koberger sitting down was for less than 30 seconds. As he gets up to leave, Dylan, hearing the commotion from Xana's room, gets up out of bed and goes to her door to look out into the hallway. She freezes and sees Koberger as he walks by and exits through the kitchen. She immediately closes and locks her door and retreats to her bed. Within 20 seconds of the encounter, she's calling and texting her roommates, but no one is responding. It takes Koberger a minute and a half to get to his vehicle after the encounter with Dylan. But once in his car, he flees the scene at a high rate of speed and exits the neighborhood at 4:20. Dylan continues trying to reach someone in the house. And after 3 minutes of trying, Bethany wakes up in response to the calls. They converse for 3 minutes, and then Beth convinces Dylan to come downstairs. The time is now 4:26 a.m. Cautiously, Dylan walks into the hallway and through the living room. As she approaches the staircase, she can see into Xana's room and sees her laying on the floor. She then runs quickly downstairs to Beth's room, where they lock the door and for several hours continuously try contacting the other roommates. Back to when Koberger left the neighborhood, he drove a particular route that would exit onto a road that leads straight to Washington state line. And about that same time that Dylan runs to Beth's room, Koberger is entering Washington state. This is all part of Koberger's pre-planning, including finding a place to stop and get rid of any evidence. This place here fits that planning. This area here, pointed out by the arrow, is a little group of trees with a small area that you can park a car on. This is what it looks like from the road. At 4:30 in the morning, while changing clothes and getting cleaned up at this location, one could feel completely safe while being able to see the headlights of a car coming from miles away. As this pivots around, you can see how this is out in the middle of nowhere, and a pre-dug hole near some of these trees would hide forever any evidence that Koberger was trying to get rid of. It's important to remember that Koberger was studying criminal behavior and the legal system. This would have motivated him to plan things to the smallest of details, like plastic on the seats to conceal DNA, or crossing state lines because the jurisdiction of one area would take hours to get assistance from the other. He's also smart enough to know that this 10-minute stop would likely never be on the radar of the authorities,